And I've entitled it, The Day God Stopped. Some things have been impressed upon my mind, and I just want to share them with you people. I don't know in your childhood experience whether you were a lot like me, but I guess every child goes through this, that they are times when at school or at home when the children say, well, let's choose up sides and play a game, whether it's basketball or baseball or something else. And you always have in the group of children those that just can't play. Very good. And so as the choosing continues on, you know which ones will always be left to last. You sort of have that feeling of the child, won't somebody choose me? Won't somebody pick me? Do I have to be last and somebody's forced to take me on their side? Maybe you've never been there. I never was one of these great athletes, you know, when they said, pick a side. Oh, we want Billy first. I was always that guy that was last, you know. Won't somebody pick me? And I always looked around for somebody that was maybe a little worse than I was, you know. That's hard to come by. But anyway, this happens to people. Who'll choose me? And in school, you know, the teachers, they'd all say, well, he's teacher's pet. Who'll choose me? And the teacher would never choose them to do anything. There are people like this. And then there are the children that are always picked first, and they go around with a sort of glow on their head, sometimes a false pride, but they really think they're great because someone has picked them first. Now, nobody wants to be left out when it gets to this choosing matter. I guess a lot of people, too, have experienced this as a child, maybe as an adult. You go to some place, and they say, what are you doing here? You haven't been invited. Sometimes children are cruel that way, you know, and we like to be invited. Sometimes something goes on, you know, and people get upset. Well, everybody was invited but me. Now, I didn't get an invitation. Sometimes it was just out of an accident or an oversight. They lost a name and they didn't have any meaning to it, but we get our hurt feelings hurt because we weren't invited. We were just left out. We say, oh, that's all right. That's all right. But it's not all right. We've been hurt. I guess every teenage girl, I'm not a teenage girl, so I can't really vouch for this, but I guess every teenage girl has her dreams that all the good-looking boys are standing in line waiting to invite her out. You know. Maybe they're not. Maybe they never will. But that sort of dream, I guess, that a girl might have, that she'll be chosen. I think the girls are reversing this thing now, and they're doing the choosing. The boys are standing in line hoping somebody will choose them. I don't know. Old boy that calls up and asks for a date. She says, no, old boy, he just sinks. Nobody wants to go with me. It's strange, you see. We want to be accepted. We want to be chosen. We want to be invited. I've often thought about the other disciples besides Peter, James, and John. Peter, James, and John, they got to go with Jesus upon the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John got to do many things with Jesus. I was one like some of the others, Bartholomew. You never hear of him. I wonder if he sometimes thought, well, Jesus, aren't you ever going to invite me to go up on the mountain? Aren't you ever going to invite me and choose me to get in the limelight? Is it always going to be Peter, James, and John? And sure enough, it was always Peter, James, and John. Yet we sometimes feel like we're getting left out if we're not chosen. And I guess many a person this very morning is lonely simply because nobody invites them to do anything. They're nobody's choice. Nobody wants them. They may sit by their phone all day, but nobody calls them. Then they may watch for the mailman to come up every day, but nobody writes them. Oh, the bill collector writes them, but that's not a letter. Nobody chooses them. Nobody really cares about them. And the cry of many a person today is, oh, how nice it would be to be wanted. Just if somebody wanted me. Just somebody wanted me. And this matter of being wanted and being chosen and being invited to things, it's been up on my mind since last Sunday's bulletin. Now, sometimes I look on the bulletins, and on the front is a little old scripture verse that goes along with the picture. And last week's verse really caught my attention. And I've been thinking about it off and on all week. The verse was, and you may have seen it now, Psalm 65:4. I want to call your attention. I never noticed this in the Bible. Not that I notice everything in the Bible, but I just, man, this verse just stood out like a neon light to me when I saw it, and I never in my life saw it before. Psalm 65:4. Blessed means happy, happy, rejoicing, pleased, joyous. Blessed is the man whom, and thou means God, blessed is the man whom God chooses and causes to approach unto himself, that he may dwell in thy courts. You know, President Nixon, I don't understand this, why he's never invited me to the White House. I don't understand it. Now, I'm not a Billy Graham. I got the first name anyway, but I don't know why he, and the governor, Texas, never has invited me. Even Mayor Houston hadn't invited me over. Even the mayor of Pasadena hadn't invited me over. I don't understand. But I guarantee you, old President Nixon called up and said, Billy, I'll pay your way to Washington, D.C. I want you to come and visit with me. Boy, you'd be the first to know. You said, well, Brunson, we're not Republican. I don't care. I'll tell you anyway. I won't go to Washington. Ah, that's an honor, isn't it? That's an honor. Might even give me an envelope with the president's seal on it, you know, when I walk out. What an honor. Brethren, blessed. Happy is the man that the eternal King chooses and says, I invite you to my house. Brother, that is some invitation. And we don't think of it as very important. You will. That's the most important invitation you can ever put in your pocket, is that one. Blessed is the man whom God chooses. And that makes me think, you mean there are some that God does not choose? Huh? Blessed is the man that God approaches. You mean there are some that God does not approach? Blessed is a man that God causes to approach him, that he may come into his house. And we shall be satisfied with God's goodness when we get inside God's house. I've been thinking about that. Man, that's made me sit up and do some serious thinking. To me, that's the greatest invitation that man will ever be given. Just think, God wants to talk to me. Just think, God wants to choose me, or God wants to call me. Man, that's amazing. Me. Don't let you. Me. Of all people, why would God care as he looks down from his throne above, God Almighty in heaven, he's got the choice of 3 billion people. Why on earth and why in heaven would God desire to send Billy Brunson an invitation to come to his house? Brethren, nobody else sends me one. Huh? Nobody else chooses me. You don't find people standing in line out there to choose me as their pastor. You don't do it. I've only had one person in my life choose me as a minister. And brother, I think he made a mistake in where he is. I don't understand. Why God would even choose me and consider me as a child, that's unbelievable. And then come along and choose me to call me a minister, that's absurd. I wouldn't do it if I was God. I wouldn't do it, man. No way. I would not pick Billy Brunson, first of all, to be my son. He'd drive me nuts. Maybe you don't feel that way about yourself. But to me, I am a bad choice when he has so much to choose from. You know, why take the least when you can get the cream of the crop? That's my opinion. That's the way I think. If I'm going to choose a God, man, I'm going to choose the best one. I'm not going to choose some little trivial God. Why didn't God do that? I mean, there's so many people better. And I'm not trying to be proud. Now, you know, you can be real humble and be proud while you're doing it. But I really talk to God all the time. I say, God, you've made a mistake. There's no way that you show good wisdom in choosing me.
Now, I think if we're being sympathetic and understanding and concerned and compassionate to make me your child, but man, there's no reason to make me a minister. I keep trying to talk him out of it. Because I think he made a mistake. I really do. And I'm just not saying that. If he's saying it, I already mean it. You can ask God, man, I'm always saying it. I just don't understand it. And I would never pick me to be a preacher. I wouldn't do it. I would go and pick the most talented, the most forceful, the most spiritual, the most dynamic, winsome people I could. I'd pick Billy Graham's everywhere I went. I'd just give up. I don't understand you. Why did God pick Bartholomew's when he could have had all Peter's? Man, Peter was a go-getter. We don't even know what Bartholomew did besides sit under a fig tree and meditate. Why pick that kind of fellow? When you want a concern like the Lord wants going for him. I don't understand it. And I would never have done it. I don't doubt God's calling. And I don't doubt God's choosing. I just question God's wisdom. I think God could have done better by himself. I really do. I don't say that about you. I'm talking about me. I think God could have done a lot better if he just looked 5 more minutes instead of getting me. And I believe that God deserves something better than what I'm getting. I really do. But I'll get off of me. There's a song that Gloria sings that, man, I love it because it speaks to me. Why should he love me so? I don't know. I don't get it. But he does. Why? I'm glad he does. I don't know why. I was born January the 3rd, 1934. I know nobody's going to shout hallelujah about that. But I wonder how many people born January the 3rd, 1934, God has chosen to be his children. I wonder. How many people born on your birthday in this world of 3 billion people, red, yellow, black, white, and brown? How many of them do you know born on your birthday that God has chosen to call his own child? I haven't met a Christian yet that was born on my birthday. And that's not saying something great, but I wasn't the only guy born on January 3rd, 1934. We live in a country of over 200 million people. Surely somebody. But you don't meet too many people born on your birthday. Does anybody here know somebody born on their birthday is a Christian? Well, brother, how about that? You must have popular birthdays. The Lord must have given them a good crop on that day. I didn't say, that's funny. That's real odd. Not funny, it's real odd. You don't have many of this one. It's unusual. But most of you didn't raise your hand. You see, you don't know anybody. Well, I don't know many people born on my birthday anyway. So much less. I don't even know. How many has God called? I'm 38. You know how long it took God to call me? 19 years. 19 years. I was around for 19 years. God was around. God never once said, Billy, I choose you. He never once said, Billy, I'm calling you to come to my... I was never invited. Oh, I was invited by the preacher. But you don't pass out God's invitations, brother. You say, I don't pass out invitations to the White House. You go up there and you'll be in trouble. I can print you up some. You want some, but ain't no good for you. Now, the preacher invited many times, but God himself never invited me to come to his house and then offer me the possibility of becoming his child until I was 19 years old. And I was in the church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night. We didn't have midweek service. I've been there then. I grew up in the church. God never stopped passing by me until I was 19 years old. And one day he stopped. And you know where I was? In the middle of 60,000 people. Can you picture that? 60,000 people. I didn't know any of them. And God stopped in that vast stadium of people where he could have picked up 60,000. And he said, Billy Brunson, I invite you to be my child for the first time. I choose you. It startled me. I couldn't figure it out. But I realized something was going on that had never gone on in my life. God was speaking to me, and He was inviting me. The guy that was normally last in every game, because nobody wanted him, here was the great big God who was singling me out. He didn't single out 60,000 people. He didn't just single me out either, brethren. He must have singled out maybe 1,000, but He did. He didn't have to. He didn't ever do it before. But He did. 19 years He passed by, and then one day He just stopped. And He called my name. And He said, "How would you like to change your name?" I said, "Huh? What do you mean?" He said, "I'll make you my child. You can live in my house. I invite you." Man, I thought that over for a while. I considered it. I considered the choosing. I considered the offer. I liked it. And I accepted it. Today I asked God if He knew what He was doing. I knew what I was doing. Man, that was too good an offer for me to pass up, He said. I wonder today if God really, among those 60,000 people, made the right choice. But He made it. That was His decision. Praise God, I accept it. I'm still questioning. All right. But I think God, if He is God, and I think He is, has the right to be choosing. Brethren, we are. And I believe God has that right. He has every right to call whomever He wishes, whenever He wishes. Blessed is the man that God chooses to call to Himself. Amen and amen and amen. I know the call of God is real. And I could ask this morning if we had the time, and I thought I could find many people in this room that know that the call of God is real. And it happens in their life. On some day when they were a certain age, but never before, God literally called them. And they said, they didn't hear any audible words. I didn't hear any audible words. But He called. And they knew He was calling, for it had never happened before. I think Christians of all ages, of all generations, have realized God's call is real. We don't have a lot of time, but we'll just take some of it reading the scriptures. Look at Acts 22:14. This is concerning Saul. A lot of people will probably say, "Brother, if there's anybody I don't think God ought to mess with, the old Saul. Man, he's killing the Christians. Best thing for you to do, God, is kill Saul. I mean, that'd be the blessed thing that could happen to the church. Just get rid of him. Let him die of starvation or get leprosy, get something. But man, they didn't think much of Paul because he was crucifying the Christians." Acts 22:14, notice. Ananias is talking to Paul. "The God of our fathers hath chosen thee." Why, I guess Paul was 33 or 34 years old. First time in his life, God chose him. Isn't that something? First time. He was a Hebrew, but God had never invited him to become His child. He says, "God, the God of our fathers has chosen thee that thou shouldest know His will for the first time and see the Just One," that's Jesus, "for the first time, and that thou shouldest hear the voice of His mouth the first time." He was over 30 years old. Look at Ephesians 1:4. Ephesians 1:4. Notice. Verse 3. "Blessed," there's that word blessed again, "blessed be the God of and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according," brother, all of the blessings of heaven are dependent upon this next verse, "according, because He hath
chosen us. When did he choose us? Oh, this gets deep, brethren. He has chosen us in Christ before the world was ever created. I don't understand. Boy, of all the time God had to think about choosing me. Just think about it. We weren't even made yet. And God chose you and me before Jesus ever came. Now that's what it says. That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Did you get that? What did God choose me for? Just to have a child He could say He was on? Nope, doesn't say that. He has chosen us before the foundation of the world was ever established that He should produce a holy child this side of heaven that will be without blame in the eyes of God. That's what He calls one to do. That's what He chooses when He chooses one to become His own. When God called me, He didn't just call a person and give them an escape from hell, and He did that. But He said, Billy, I've got big plans for you. I said, oh? He said, yeah. I said, what on the Lord? You going to make me number one preacher? He said, no. Going to make me rich? No. Going to make me pretty? No. Going to make me smart? No. What are you going to make me? I'm going to make you holy. Oh. Is that what you're going to do? Oh. Oh, Lord. Holy? He said, yes, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make me a holy child. And that's why I'm choosing you. I said, but Lord, I'm not holy. He said, of course you're not holy. But I'll make you holy. I'm calling you to be a, quote, holy child. H-O-L-Y. Now, do you accept my invitation to be a holy child? Oh, Lord, I want to be a gifted child. He says, no, I'm going to make you a holy child. And brothers and sisters, this has really come home to me. What does God want from His children? He wants holiness. Holiness. Look at John 15. Our time is, I was going to preach real short because the other night I lasted 11 o'clock. I ain't not going to do that again to you. Never will, I hope. John 15, verse 16 and 19. Jesus said, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you. I've already chosen you. That's why you picked me. I gave you a chance. And I ordained you that you should go forth and bring fruit. That's be holy, really what it's saying, brethren. I have ordained you to be holy. That's the fruit. That then, after you have become holy, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, I'll give it to you. There's your blessings. Now, if you will, also look at verse 19. If you were of the world, that is, if you were just like the worldly crowd, the world would love you because you'd be just like they were. They love their own. But because you are not like the world, how can they not be like the world? They've been made holy. Notice now, I have chosen you. Chosen you out of the world. And the world hates you. You know, brothers and sisters, when you get holy, the first people that turn on you, the world, they despise you. They don't want you around them. You may be holy, but you will be disliked by the devil's crowd and by the worldly crowd. One more now, but you've been chosen, brethren. Be clear now, you have been chosen to get yourself out of the world's ways. Now, it's as black, it's in red in my Bible, but black and white probably in yours. You have been chosen by God to get a holy life. That's what you've been chosen for. And as long as we live in as the world is, nobody in the world is going to know we are God's child, and I have my doubts if you know it. And I'll get to that in a few minutes. Then the last one is in John 6, 37 and 44. All the Father gives me, notice that, all that the Father gives me, the Father must invite, the Father must call, and the Father must choose those that He's going to present to His Son Jesus Christ to save. Jesus will not save one person, the Father will give him. All that the Father does give me, though, shall come to me, and him that comes to me, that the Father chooses, invites, and sends, I will in no wise cast out. Verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me will draw him, invite him, choose him, and bring him. Nobody will come to Jesus until the Father stops and says, you there, fella, would you like an invitation to be my child? But also a holy child. God's call comes in secret. Nobody knows when God calls you. Nobody knows when God speaks to you. There's no audible voice from heaven. But brethren, you know. I knew. It never happened to me before. 19 years. No one but you knows when God speaks. But brother, you know. God's calling is so powerful and so impressive and so persuasive that you can't get out of your mind. God's call is clear. It's direct. It's tender. It's serious. It's demanding. And it's frightening.